Hey, Joe, this is Megan Garrett.
Hey, Megan, how you doing? I was a little nervous at first because I didn't know who it was. I thought, I don't want to answer
this. Sorry.
I had to figure out where I was. How are you doing, Megan?
I am good. I'm surviving. Not quite thriving yet today.
I'm really thankful that we have a few minutes to talk. You know, we can delve into all your personal life and everything like that and dig up all the dirt on the rest of the Cast and Crowns members.
Buckle your seatbelts.
I'm just teasing. But I'm just curious because right now you're in Texas, aren't you? Or is it Oklahoma? Oklahoma. Yeah.
Enid, Oklahoma.
Wow. Now, you got a concert coming up, and you got, what do you do? Go to Kansas and then back to Texas, I think, right?
I will trust your word because I just get on the bus and go where they take me.
So it's traveling by bus. That's kind of what I was getting at. Yeah.
Yes.
And all the members of Cast and Crowns on the same bus?
We have two buses.
Okay.
So we're kind of divided. We've got a bunch of kids, too. So it's a bunch of Crowns people and families.
Wow. Now, I know you have a five-year-old, right? You have a five-year-old, right?
I do, yes. I have a five-year-old, a seven-year-old, and a 12-year-old.
Wow. And do they come with you?
They do. I've been running around all morning trying to get teeth brushed and clothes put on and school started. And my mom travels with me and helps watch them, too. So I just had to kind of take them in the room and say, here's an outlet. They know how to set up their stuff. I got to go.
Wow, man. Well, you know, Casting Crowns is not unique, but you're pretty close to it because of your makeup as a group with the guys and the gals, right? So that's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yes.
Or is it?
Yeah. Oh, well, it's definitely not like, there's definitely nothing cookie cutter about us. We do everything outside of the box.
You were, I can't believe how long it's been. You know, that you guys have been around. We don't have to go into that, but it's, you know.
Hey, I'm feeling it, though. I think this June will be 15 years.
And that's interesting because they started in Florida as a youth group ministry and then moved to Atlanta, which I kind of was interested in that. Did Mark Hall just go, I like Atlanta better, or what? What happened?
No, Mark is youth pastor full-time still to this day. He was serving at a church in Daytona Beach, Florida, where he met most of the guys in the band, and they were just leading worship for their youth group. And they had a, which we still do to this day, youth resources where we give free resources, you know, like talk ideas and music and any kind of resources to any youth pastor that wants it. Crowns still does that, but... I wasn't in it yet. They started that in Daytona Beach, and God called Mark to be the youth pastor at a church in the Atlanta area, at a big church in the Atlanta area where I grew up in. And when they decided that they were supposed to make the move to Atlanta, because it wasn't necessarily for the band, but they had launched this youth ministry resources thing that they really felt like God wanted them to do, the guys decided to come with him. And not to mention the youth group in Atlanta was pretty big, and you know, they were great youth workers and helped lead worship, so they decided to come to Atlanta with him, just for the ministry aspect of it, not so much the band. And when they got to Atlanta, they kind of absorbed me into their blob, and we just started leading worship for our youth group and some guys in the church. Mark had been writing songs for several years, and some guys in the church said they wanted us to record a CD of Mark's original music and some of the stuff we did on Wednesday nights, and they paid for us to go to a local little studio and make a CD, and it was a CD that we just kind of handed out to kids when they came in. It wasn't anything. We never sent it off to radio stations or record labels. We weren't trying to do anything. It was just purely for ministry and, for the denouals that we did, stuff like that. And, and it just, God just kind of said, well, I got something different in mind. And here we are 15 years later.
I guess so. I always joke about the church, Eagles Landing Church, right? I said, it's probably one of those little churches south of Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know,
just, probably, just a little one.
They probably only have a couple hundred in their youth group, but I don't. You may have more.
Yeah,
than
on a good night.
I don't know, but
yeah, it's a good church.
Well, that's pretty cool. Now, so you have grown your family while you've been a member of Cast and Crowns.
Yes, we all have.
Wow, that's pretty
exploded.
That's pretty amazing. I think that you could, you know, just pull it off. I mean, that's, you know, with the makeup and so many people involved, that is just incredible. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we actually, my husband and I were engaged when we got the call that we were going to be signed. And so we got married. We got signed in June. We got married in August. And 3 weeks later, we left for our first tour for a month.
Whoa.
And so it's just been, you know, a whirlwind. But the way that Crowns is always, you know, we kind of make it our, I don't know, mantra. Words aren't coming to me this morning. I'm so exhausted. But we've just kind of made it a goal to, you know, we're just going to do life. And, you know, this is something that God's done. It's not anything we've tried to do. We're not trying to chase a dream or make room for this thing that we want to do. It's just something that God has done, and we want to be obedient and do it as long as he'll have us do it. But you know, that shouldn't prevent us from also still being involved full time in church and student ministry and worship ministry and having a family. And so we're about as normal as you could get.
Mark keeps saying
unimpressive.
Mark Hall keeps saying that. Yeah, we're just normal. And I understand, and I always get confused between Melanie and Melody, which I hope other people do as well, because otherwise I'm the big idiot.
There's a lot of M's in the band. It's Melanie, Melody, Mark, Megan. We've learned the answer to anything, really. When you hear an M sound, everybody turns around.
It's so cruel.
But, Melanie is Mark's wife, and right. She is our road manager and the left brain of everything that we do. She holds it all together, and she's the mama crown, we call her. She just kind of tells us where to go and when to be there, and she's a godsend. Like she's made it really. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
People really brag on her though, which is pretty interesting. You know, you would think that she may be in a position of being the manager just because she's Mark's wife, but people have said no. She really knows what she's doing. She's one of the best there is. So that's a good deal.
She really is. We're blessed to have her.
Now, I'm sorry you're all tired and everything. I don't know how you do it. I mean, you know, I guess it's a lifesaver just saying we go out Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then we get back to church, and then you get to deal with the youth. Oh, man.
Yeah, but you know
what is wrong with you,
people? It's kind of a good balance, though, because, like, you know, just human nature, you can be out here and sing in front of thousands of people and, you know, your head can get kind of big that, you know, well, maybe I am kind of important. And then you walk in church on Sunday morning and get snubbed by a middle schooler, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, so I'm not bring you back down to where you belong. So it's a good balance.
Well, I'm having a good time on Twitter, and I tell people on the air, I said, I really like it. For a long time, I just kind of, you know, I just did the Facebook thing and kind of stuff like that. But I really enjoy Twitter. Simply because you can tap into a lot of great devotional materials and things, you know, that get out there. And you don't have to look at photographs, right? You know, like not on Facebook where you're just scrolling and all of a sudden there's something there and you're like, whoa, you know. And I mean, like somebody stroganoff right. or something they made that night, you know, and you're like, what
right.
in the world? Anyway, but you really are on Twitter a lot. And so kudos to you. I mean, you're very open in your life on Twitter. But I figured you kind of knew that, but, you know. And you're very open and honest about that.
I am who I am, you know. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be, you know, this person that I'm not, because you spend a little bit of time with me and you'll be very unimpressed, I promise you.
Oh, stop. Man, oh, man. Did you really accidentally sing "I Know You Cast My Friend as Far as the East is from the West"? You did not.
I did. And it's Melody. Okay, so Melody, the other girl that's in the band, a Melody, stands across the stage from me. My piano's kind of like turned to the side, so I face her, and so we kind of make faces at each other every night, and kind of she's my best friend in the world, so we just kind of have this like communicate And she whipped her head around while she was playing violin and looked at me like, really? And it's just like, you have moments, you know, all throughout the night where you just, you know, because these songs really, like, they're kind of like riding a bike. Like, it's just muscle memory sometimes just kind of takes over. And thank goodness for that, because, you know, I'll be thinking about something else and then all of a sudden go like, whoa, I'm supposed to be singing or playing, you know, and you don't... Your hands and your voice just kind of takes over and does it for you. But so sometimes, yeah, wrong words slip out, and it's pretty comical.
And you shared that it did. That's I tell you what, you get a special crown for that one. I think you do make it. But because we talked, you know, when I talked to Mark, a lot of the songs come from the youth group ministry. Like, the name of the youth group is Thrive, I guess. Isn't that it? Or is that a theme? Yes. I can't remember. And then, so what do you do? Are you in a position where Mark says, okay, this is the new song we got, and then you kind of figure out what to do, play the piano around it and stuff like that? How does that work? How do you develop music?
Well, Mark is an incredible songwriter. He's just a wordsmith. He has a way of you know, of expressing something through words and melody that kind of blows our mind a lot. So we have just a great... He writes with Matthew West and Bernie Herms, who is Natalie Grant's husband. And Bernie's this incredible piano player. And that's why a lot of the songs are really piano-led, is when Mark sits down, he has this journal, and he sits down and he starts singing these things, and Bernie is just like... just comes in and just starts playing these beautiful piano things, and it just kind of sticks. And so he's so amazing. I know I'm a piano player, but I'm not one of those that can sit down and go, okay, what key are we in, you know, let's go, you know. I can learn it, and I can learn, you know, whatever you give me, but I just kind of let him do it, and he records a lot of the stuff, and I just kind of learn it after that and perform it live.
Wow. Is that something that ever happened that was like really cool? I mean, I don't know how you would remember hardly anything about, you know, you've been in so many concerts and things like that, but can you remember something that happened that was really cool at a concert? Kind of another.
Yeah, a lot of them. Like, I could sit and talk forever about it. Mark always encourages us. He's a great, not only a great, like, front man and songwriter stuff, but he's a great leader. And he always encourages us that, you know, like I said earlier, it's like riding a bike with all these songs. It's just muscle memory kind of takes over. You know, when you've sung these songs 1,000 times,
right,
you know, in 15 years,
yeah,
sometimes it just kind of becomes routine. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
oh, sure.
Kind of, yeah, sing it again. It's like, well, you know, this is easy. We'll just sing it. We'll get through it. But we try to remind ourselves that even though this might be our 1,000th time singing this song, it might be these people out here, some of their first time hearing it, or hearing it live, or it might be a song that they've really, that God's used in their life to really minister to them and carry them through something. And so it's special and it's important, and every song is that way. And so we really try our hardest to not just kind of do it, you know, but be mindful of that. And one of the ways that we can do that is, you know, not just focusing on, you know, your workstation, you know, like me staring at my hands or at the piano or whatever, but keeping my eyes kind of out in the crowd, because it never fails. Every night, you know, you can watch kind of God doing something in somebody's heart. You can see it on their face. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And you can kind of watch the evolution through the night, because our concerts are very ministry oriented. It's not just a show. It's very much kind of like a worship service. And but there was this one night where it was a long run. I was tired. I was just kind of done and ready to go home. And I was looking at the set list and thinking, oh, you're counting down like 5 more songs. I can do this. Let's just get through it. And then, you know, we can, it's one step closer to being home, which I think is natural. But,
right.
You know, not necessarily how God wants us to be. But anyway, I looked out in the crowd, and there's a handicap section. And the spotlight, or the lights, kind of swung past, and I saw this little boy who's less than 10 years old, and his dad was sitting beside him. He was in a wheelchair, quadriplegic, couldn't move, very disabled. And his dad was sitting by him, like wouldn't stand the whole night, which I think is pretty sweet, but was just sitting there and they were watching the show. And Praise in the Storm came along and, you know, I was in my mindset of, all right, five more songs. And I looked, my eyes looked up and I caught them. And he had taken his little boy out of his wheelchair and was cradling him in his arms and just tears rolling down his face and his hand raised, singing Praise in the Storm. And I was just like, oh, you know, it's so such a powerful moment, I'm sure for them, but God used it in my life to remind me of what I said a minute ago, that even though I've done this, you know, there are people that are clinging to these songs. And if we truly believe that God gave us these words and these songs, I need to be passionate about it. You know what I mean? And I need to give it everything that I have, not just vocally and musically, but my heart. And yeah, that's one thing that I'll never forget. And it really taught me to keep looking out and looking for those moments. And because it really helps urge us along to do, you know, what we're supposed to be doing.
That's pretty emotional. Just me in a padded room here listening to that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really like hooks up every time.
I can picture that. I can just get an image of that right now. You're right. And God does that, doesn't he?
It's powerful.
You start getting it like that, and he'll remind you. He'll put something in front of you to remind you. Oh, boy. Wow.
Right. So much bigger than us. You know what I mean?
And I tell you, now you go out. You're not gone every weekend out of the year, are you?
No, we usually do about 85 shows a year.
Okay.
Which is a bunch, but... You know, typically travel Thursday through Saturday, home Sunday through Wednesday. We're on a long run right now. We've been gone for 8 days now. Sometimes when you get out further west, Midwest, it's hard to come back and forth. We don't fly a lot because of kids.
Yeah. You're a couple of days between towns out there. Man, oh, man. Wow.
Yeah, we've had a few days off.
Wow.
Yeah, we're kind of to that point now where we're like, all right, we've been out long enough, we're ready to go home. So I'm sure the Holy Spirit will smack me up.
Yeah, you'll find something. Well, Megan, I appreciate that.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm sure you got a lot of moms listening, you know, who are thinking about you, and maybe when they see you in concert, they have a different opinion about how you got it made, you know, coming out and just playing the piano with Casting Crowns. How bad, you can't get any better than that, right? But in a way, you get to see some cool stuff, but you know, there's that life that goes along with it that's maybe not what you expect.
Yeah. There's some really great things about it, but the majority of it is not glamorous at all. And it's, you know, it's really a calling. I think the way that we do it, especially because it is so ministry minded, that it's just it's a lot. You know, we just kind of live our life and we go and we do what God wants us to do, and you just kind of fit in normal stuff along with it. You know, like my kids are in the other room doing homeschool right now, probably driving my mother insane. You know, and later, you know, we'll do some lunch, we'll take a break, we'll go back and do some more school and get done this afternoon, and I'll eat dinner, or I'll go to sound check, then eat dinner really quick, throw some makeup on, and then I'm on stage. So, you know, it's not like we're laying around with our feet propped up all day. You know, it's we're busy, you know, and so you might catch me a lot of time yawning in the middle of
That's if you see her, if you see Megan yawn, you'll know why. People will be like, "Amen, sister, it's okay." Well, I tell you, you cause quite a buzz. I mean, when the town and the counties around know that Casting Crowns is coming months out, you know, they told me that. They said they're the buzz. They're the ones that's the buzz.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it really is. Surprised me. I was like, Casting Crowns? You kidding?
Teasing.
I mean, when you go down, somebody actually asked me that. What songs do they do? And then for the next 5 or 10 minutes, I had to just like list, you know, all the. And they were like, oh, yeah. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Yes. Exactly.
We got a few of them.
Yes, you have. Absolutely. And they resonate with people too. See, that's just incredible. And you must. Do people come up to you who are. should I say, aspiring? I mean, you know, there's a lot of talent out there. And sometimes people want to be in the position that you're in, you know, with songs on the radio and traveling around and stuff.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions like that. And Mark's really great talking to people like that, because it's hard for us to give advice because, you know, like I said earlier, this isn't something that we tried to do. It's not a dream that we pursued and fought for. It's something that God truly just dropped in our laps, and he took us completely off guard. And I think the key phrase with all of the Christian industry from the moment we started was, this never happens. You know, so we honestly, we can take zero credit for anything. We don't want to take zero credit for anything, because it's like everything that's happened has just been like, okay, well, I guess this is what God's doing. It's nothing that we've tried to do, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I feel like we're just kind of along for the ride, so it's hard for us to give advice for people like that. But, you know, what we do always say is, you know, God's gifted us and given us talents to pour into our local church first, and that's the most important thing, and that's why we still go home and we still pour in to our church, because that's what God's called us to do. And, you know, there's not a bigger platform. You know, being on a stage in Enid, Oklahoma, in front of a few thousand people is not more important than standing on your stage in front of a couple hundred people in your hometown, leading them to the phone as well. It's the same thing. God's called us all to different things, and it doesn't make us more important, and it doesn't make us more valuable in the kingdom. It just means that God's chosen us to do this thing. But he still needs, or I shouldn't say needs, he still wants all the talents and the things that he's given us as a church body to pour into the people that are around us and that we do life with, first and foremost. And if he chooses to take you along and give you a bigger platform, that's awesome. And no doubt you're equipped for it. But yeah, I think it's just people have this view that if only I could do that, if only I could have this big audience, you know, when I don't think that that's really God's desire for us at all, for all of us at all.
Well, just stay away from the beef jerky, and I think you'll probably be all right.
Ooh, you are not kidding. The beef stick burps that's really pleasant, too, when you're trying to, you know, sing this emotional, does anybody hear her? And you have to kind of turn your head and go,
wow.
It's like, it takes the... I'm just going to be real with you.
If our eating habits don't destroy us, then we'll be okay. We'll get through this. It's going to be
kidding.
Awesome.
I travel on a bus with a bunch of men, so I have, you know, there's eating habits are will destroy everybody in the bus. That makes sense.
The funniest thing I heard recently was Darren Mulligan from We Are Messengers talking about a year ago or so. He was out on the bus with, I don't know, Zach Williams or somebody. He said he pulled out a can of Cheese Whiz and started putting it on crackers, and Darren had never seen cheese in a can. He said, dude, what are you doing? He still can't get over it to this day that Americans actually eat cheese we squirt out of a can. So I said, you get hungry enough.
Hilarious.
You out on the road, you get hungry enough, you'll be eating anything just about. You have to be careful.
I would love to be a fly on the wall with that culture clash right there with Darren and Zach. I mean, you got full-blooded American, and yeah, that's hilarious.
Well, you guys are absolutely awesome, and I've taken a lot of your time, Megan. I appreciate that very much to finally get a hold of you, and appreciate.
I'm sorry it was difficult.
No, that's okay. That's fine. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not terrible. Not the worst thing. It's not as bad as, you know, burping on. That's actually, you know, like when you're on the radio and then you have to sneeze or something like that. That's what that's like, isn't it? Yeah.
Right.
You know, you're right in the middle of something.
Momentary panic.
You're like, please, yeah. God, this cannot be happening. You don't want people to know that you to sneeze.
Right. There's some nights where your focus is, you know, really stay in ministry minded. And then there's other nights where your focus is, God, please don't let me burp in a microphone. You know what I mean?
Oh man! Well, how can we pray for you guys? Got any ideas? Got anything specific?
You know, I think at this point, I think everybody is missing their families. As of right now, we'll be home on Sunday, but all the boys, their wives, their wives and kids are at home. So, you know, everybody's a little weary. You can pray for us now about that. And then, you know, of course, I miss my husband, my kids, miss their dad. Just road weariness stuff and focus, good focus, and you know, keeping the main thing for the next few days would be great for me. And then, you know, just everything that goes along with trying to balance all of it. I have a little testimony of something that God taught me about not just being obedient and what God's calling me to do, but delighting, truly delighting in it. And I think that's a constant, something that I would love prayer for, is just, you know, keeping that posture of delighting that God called me to this, and not just going, okay, I'll do it, but really delighting in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's something I struggle with, so I'd love that for you to,
yes, ma'am,
pray for me personally about that.
Yeah, what are you guys doing for Easter? Do you get to be home for Easter, or
We do get to be home. We get a very, very rare Saturday home before
Ooh.
Easter.
Woo-hoo!
So, yeah, usually I'm on the bus, you know, the bus barreling down the highway at 70 miles an hour, trying to curl my kids' hair and get them ready for church to hop off the bus and run into the church service. So it'll be nice to wake up and just kind of have a chill Sunday morning. And yeah,
that's going to be
a major treat.
Yeah, and the anticipation of that treat, you know, it's just like us Northerners. Except I originally from North Carolina, so it took me a while to get used to the weather. The spring is the worst because it's like the last place in the country to get warm. But, you know, the anticipation, yeah. And a friend said, it's that anticipation. That's what makes it so great, you know, a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, that is kind of cool, isn't it? Something that's a little treat from God.
Yeah.
So may you keep seeing those little wonderful God blessings, Megan. I appreciate you very much. Okay. And thanks for talking to me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Been a lot.
Anytime. It might take us a few tries, but...
Well,
I loved it. I've gotten to sit in a room without my kids for a few minutes. It's been a nice treat.
Okay. Well, break's over now. Anyway.
Right. Go teach some school.
Okay. Thank you. God bless you, Megan. Appreciate it. All right.
You too.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.